Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville, and welcome to another hour of our Ask the Experts weekend. I'm joined today by the hard worker himself, Pete the Job Guy Langlois. Pete offers a very valuable service to our community and other communities nearby. See, what Pete does is Pete has a bunch of jobs, and Pete has a bunch of people who are looking for jobs. And he combines the two, and he reaches out to employers and puts people with their dream jobs. So today and every Sunday morning at 8 a.m., you can tune in to get free career advice and insight on the latest employment trends from the staffing industry's leading authority, Pete the Job Guy Langlois. With over 30 years of experience in staffing, we invite you to join the discussion on workplace controversies with an honest and entertaining filter. Let's get this show started. Pete, welcome.
Good Sunday morning, everybody, and welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. You hear that song? The hustle. I'm going to tell you, wow. I was talking with my team this week about having the hustle. And I got up and I'm saying, guys, you got to have the hustle. You got to walk a little faster to the cooler, down to the hall, because you know what? Your competitors have the hustle. They're trying to move at a faster pace than you. The guy sitting next to you who wants your promotion is moving at a fast pace. You got to have the hustle. And they played this Van McCoy song from the 70s. So what did I do? I got up and started doing the hustle. Like, I remember it. I was dancing all around. So if you're inclined to go out to social media and check me out on Twitter at Pete the Job Guy, or go to my website, PeteTheJobGuy.com. You can see me doing the hustle. I don't know if that's something you want to do, but I was doing it. But today's show is going to be about having your hustle and about persevering through some of the career lows that we all have. Now, my hustle has always been, listen, I want to have better for my family than I had as a kid. I want to provide as a father and a husband. I want to provide a good lifestyle for my family. So I focus on what I want, and I do all the little things necessary every day. And I move at a pace that's faster than the guy sitting next to me and faster than my competitors. It's the only way. You have to have the hustle. And when you talk about perseverance, you know, this is interesting because nowadays I look at a lot of resumes. I talk to a lot of candidates. And what do I see? I see people that go to work at one place for 6 months. They finally learn where the restroom is and where the water cooler is and how to get to the refrigerator and back, and then they leave and go somewhere else. Or they stay for a year at their next stint, and things get a little tough, or the boss says something, or there's a difficult situation, and they change jerseys and go play for another team. They don't persevere. They don't allow themselves to be the guy or the girl, to be the winner, to be the best. You have to take the lows and turn them into something better. That's part of it, and you persevere. And speaking about persevering, my first guest is Dr. Brandon Anderson. And we're going to talk to Brandon about, listen, when I just hear the DR, the doctor in front of his name, he's a medical doctor, he's an ER doctor. And I think, my gosh, this guy had to go through school for a lot of years to become a doctor. And Brandon, first thing I want to say, just ask you, when you were a kid, did you always want to be a doctor?
I would say the first thing I wanted to be was an astronaut.
Well, becoming close. A doctor, just like an astronaut, you have point A and point Z, and there's a lot of letters in between to get to astronaut, a doctor. But
early on, I knew I love science. I love math. I kind of knew where my niche was in school. And early on, my dad's a pharmacist, so I had exposure to the healthcare industry, and I pretty much knew early on that that's kind of the road I wanted to take.
Let me ask you, because when I hear doctor, a lot of times I think, okay, was great-grandpa and great-grandma doctor, and then a family of doctors that pushed you to it? No, I mean, your dad was a pharmacist. What'd your mom do?
She's a teacher.
Okay, and a teacher, and you decide, I'm going to be a doctor.
It's one of those things, you know, part of it is you kind of early on have an idea of what you want to do, and then you research different things. And for some reason, you know, like I said, I had other opportunities to do different things, but it's something I always had in my heart to do. But as you go through the journey, you know, there's steps along it where you start to question it and things come up.
That's what I want to dig in right there. So you go, I mean, just passing the MCAT test, I know that had to be tough and a lot of work going in. But when you start medical school, you see a lot of smiling faces and a lot of people. Now, at the end of medical school, I'm going to guess the same smiling faces weren't all there.
Right. So the the first step was in college. So just for a little bit of insight, our college had in our freshman class 800 people, and about 100 of them day one were pre-med. So everybody kind of wanted to be a doctor. They wanted to be pre-med. So throughout the whole process, it's a slow weed out process because you have to take the hardest courses. You have to maintain a certain GPA, score certain scores on the tests.
And not party as much.
And
as
not party
else.
As much. So right, for instance, all of the science labs are on Friday. The big party night was Thursday night. So basically for your first year or two, you're stuck in the library studying while everybody else is partying. So over time, it kind of weeds out everybody. And then by the time I graduated, out of the 100 or 110, I think 8 of us got accepted into medical school.
It's amazing. But I made the reference to pro athletes before, too. You think about, you know, the elite of the elite get the scholarship and they play in college. And then the elite of the elite, the one percenters, go on beyond.
And I will say a misconception is it's not the 8 smartest by far. So everybody thinks, oh, you have to be the smartest to be a doctor. You have to have some degree of intelligence, but by
perseverance,
far, it's the perseverance. And one of the things with me at an early age when I was in high school, I remember even to this date, and my parents remember, I had a science teacher, a chemistry teacher as a junior, who went around the whole classroom and asked everybody in front of the classroom what they wanted to do. When it came to me, I said I wanted to be a doctor, and he kind of laughed in my face and said, oh, you'd never be a doctor. You know how hard it is to be a doctor? And we come from a small school, and I don't think we had a graduating high school student who was a physician for like 5 years. So that kind of always stuck with me, and I always tell people it's sort of like a sports analogy. If somebody thinks they're a first-round pick, they get drafted in the 5th round, it's always going to push them to go harder, kind of like the Tom Brady scenario. That kind of always pushed me. That was my motivating factor. I always knew I wanted to be a doctor, but when things got hard, I always remember that time, and it kind of got me through the hard times. And I always tell people, especially like medical students, that, you know, your motivation can be anything. Just make it something that works for you.
That's good. You know what's great is I love this, because now that teacher that said, oh, you'll never make it and all that, now you can go back and punch him in the face.
That's right.
And then provide medical care to him.
Yeah, I could even.
Let me ask you this. What would you tell maybe your 21-year-old self that's kind of struggling and, you know, other folks are out partying, having fun? You're knuckling down and really, you know, determined to get the grades necessary to pass, to get it. What would you tell yourself, your 20-year-old self?
Well, one of the things is you know, don't look at what the goal is. Look at what the end result's going to be. Don't look at the moment, because it's such a long process you go through. You have to take it step by step, and you have to stay disciplined and focused. But don't just live for that moment at the time. Just say, you know, it's a long journey. You got to get through each step and set goals, like small goals, as you go along. And every time you reach your goal, it gives you more self-confidence. It gives you more self-esteem. It makes you feel better. So that, I mean, the whole process of becoming a doctor is a 12-year journey, at least it was for me. And it was probably some of the 12 hardest years of my life, and will always be. But it's just, if you just kind of go little by little, set little goals, and each time you achieve them, it makes it that much easier.
That's fantastic. That's one thing. Again, whether you want to be a doctor in life, or, you know, whether you're a mechanic, you're laying bricks, whether you sell widgets, whatever it is, having goals and compartmentalizing those goals and allowing yourself to celebrate when you reach a milestone and moving past it, that's fantastic advice. I think it's great. Let me ask you this. You have kids?
Yeah, with twin daughters.
Okay.
12.
Do either of them want to be a doctor?
Well, the funny thing is, Ashton, ever since she was about 5, she loves animals. All she wants to do is be a vet.
And a veterinarian?
A veterinarian. And still to this day, she's focused. That's all she wants to do. Hayden, our other daughter, she wants to be a pediatric orthopedic surgeon. So she's probably going to be the one who follows a little bit more in my footsteps. But I don't push them to do it. I just, you know, when they're still young, and I kind of tell them what it takes to do it and how much schoolwork and grades and those type of things. But I think in general, your children usually do kind of follow in some way your path that you've gone on. And they've seen in our office the books I've gone through, and they've asked me, they said, you've read all these books? And I said, oh yeah, we've had to go through all the tests. And so they grow up with it. So I think, you know, they're going to be inclined to kind of follow the same type of, not maybe career, but field or that type of thing. So, but I do tell them it's not easy. And I do tell them you better get good grades. So, but they do well in school.
Okay. And one more question. You know, I love my job. I love what I do. I help people all day long. I help people find jobs, sometimes when they're at a very vulnerable point in their lives. They're having a tough time. Everybody you see is having a very tough time. That's right. Just part of life. What do you enjoy most about your job?
So the most satisfying thing with being a doctor is your interaction with the patients. Most everybody, at least I see in the emergency room, are sick. And that over time wears on you. You don't see a lot of healthy patients. But the interacting with the patients and the families, trying to find the diagnosis, trying to do things to, you know, move things along, get them better, that's by far the most rewarding thing we do as physicians. Everybody thinks physicians make a lot of money and it's like a glamorous thing.
Oh, you can't tell me you don't. Skip that. Go ahead.
No. But you actually, for the amount of time and effort you put into it, where you have 12 years of your life where you're actually going into debt, you know, financially, it's probably not that the best course people can take, but it's never about the money. And I know, you know, friends with neurosurgeons who make the top of the top for physicians, and none of them do it for the money. They all do it for the love of what they do, like doing operations and, you know, surgeries and those things. So just about every physician I know, it's about learning a skill that nobody else has and being able to use that skill for the betterment of your patients.
Have you ever been on an airplane and they say, is there a doctor in the house?
I have.
Oh, you're kidding me? Really?
I was on an airplane. I was actually a resident, so I was technically a doctor, but didn't really know much about medicine because I think I was a first-year resident and intern. And a patient had a seizure, and they went online and said, is there a doctor? And I had to raise my hand and went over and then kind of make sure the person was stable, and then you go on a phone line with the airline physician, and they go through the vitals and everything, and they have to determine whether to divert the plane or not. And fortunately, the patient, you know, the person was fine, and we didn't have to divert the plane. So then when we landed, I had to fill out a whole sheet. Uh-huh. I won't say what airline it was, but yeah. And you had to give all your information and kind of almost like a short medical history note. Mm-hmm. And I told my wife, Amy, I said, you know, I'll probably get a free airline ticket out of this or something. Because otherwise, the plane was supposed to, it would have diverted. We were I think it was a cross-country flight and never heard from them again.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That's another whole show. Well, you know, one last thing, and we're going to wrap up with here. And I really appreciate you coming. I know, you know, you're a very busy person. Yeah, I appreciate you coming out. If I'm going to catch, and we had a chance to talk before the show and get to know each other a little bit. If I'm out for redfish out in the intercoastal, mud minnows or shrimp?
So here's the fishing report for the intercoastal from JTB to Beach Boulevard area, early morning, late afternoon, top water. You got to fish the falling tide or the rising tide, but it's got to be halfway through the tide. And they're catching them like crazy. And the best top water is the Badonkadonk, pearl white. But now my neighbor just went out and he doesn't topwater fish a lot, and he said he got like 5 or 6 hits right away. He got a couple. So that's the hot thing right now.
Oh, boy. Listen to this. Not only did we have Captain Brandon Anderson, but we had Dr. Brandon Anderson. And all you hard workers out there, I hope you take something from this message, a nugget that perseverance, having a goal, and working hard towards that goal, and not letting yourself get off track, that means a lot. Brandon, thank you very much for coming out.